Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, you're listening to Powerfully You on Blog Talk Radio. This is Dave McDowell, and my wife Linda is here, and we'll just do a real quick who we are, because I know, you know, some of you have not heard us before or listened to us, but our goal with this program is to cause you to think, is to explore mostly spiritual topics, but who knows where we'll go sometimes, but that's usually where we are. And our goal is not to convince you of something or to change your lives as much as to encourage you to seek your own paths, to examine your own beliefs, and be open and listening to those that may be able to share something with you. And we ask our listeners and followers to do the same, to challenge us, to ask us questions. Anyway, our topic this evening is submission, and we just kind of, what does submission in marriage really mean? How does it work? What does it look like? What are some of the challenges? That's the topic we're going to hit today. And actually, because I will start that submission is one of those words that is really tough. And it's really tough because I think it's been poorly taught and poorly understood. And we won't point fingers or anything, but I think it's been abused at times by some leaders and some people. Linda, I kind of want to start with you, because as a female, submission, that word. Well, I'll just ask you, submission, what do you think?
Well, I'm going to start by, first of all, sometimes I like to start with what is the definition of the word. So submission is the act or the fact of accepting or yielding to a superior force or the will or authority of another person. It's also the action of presenting proposals, application of, or documents. Well, that's kind of secondary. But basically, it's the act of yielding. That superior authority is always a challenge for me because I don't feel like the husband is superior to the wife. I just feel like they are equal parties. And submission has been a challenge for me. I think as I've gotten older, it is easier for me to submit. And I'm being just totally honest about how I feel about submission. And I guess I grew up in the era of women's lib and, go get it and all of that. So I think I have a more difficult time probably with submission than maybe some other women who didn't have that. And plus I've been a single parent and, I've always had to work and all of those things. So I've always made my own way. Submission is not an easy thing for me. But I do feel like the key to a wife being submissive is choosing the right person to be submissive to. And I from past mistakes or whatever, sometimes, I think it's easier to be submissive to your husband if he is a good, godly man, because he's not going to overlord you on that. And being submissive does not mean that you don't have a brain anymore, that you do not have input into the decision-making in your marriage. It just means that you give him that respect, that honor to be the head of the household. When I look at it like that, then it's...
Yeah, see, I think even your definition, unfortunately, the word superior makes you think better, but that's not what that means there. It means a higher authority. It doesn't make him better. It just means in the hierarchy, the guy's first in line, responsible for his family. That doesn't make him better. It just makes him responsible.
Yeah, and I see that, but if you looked up superior, it would say one of higher authority if we looked up the word superior.
Yeah. Oh, I did. That's what
yeah.
it said.
Yeah. So, I mean, and I guess when I have a problem with that word, meaning maybe for me personally, this is me in my flesh and whatever, but I'm going to be honest with you, I do have a problem with that word. Basically because
it's so funny because we've talked about this week and you haven't had any issues. You've been very calm and all those things. But when you read it, you changed. I watched you. Even your body language changes. And I think that's what happens today is some poor guy, I hope it's not me, comes out in public on stage somewhere and says, oh, we're going to talk about submission. And you can see people tense. You really can. And what I would love to do is not to convince anybody, but as much as to share, there is a way for this to work that you and I have been working on. I'm not saying we're 100% perfect at it. It doesn't feel like one person is really over the other as much as one person is more responsible. And there is a difference, you know. Let's talk about, for example, before you and I got married, we talked about this. You know, we talked about what's this look like, what's it mean. And the reason I wanted that conversation and you too was I've had experience where it wasn't like. For whatever reason, I'm not going to go back to two failed marriages.
Well, me too. I have definitely experienced what, and in defense of, you know, past, I will say that it wasn't always like that. I have had the experiences of when it wasn't right in certain instances.
Mm-hmm.
So I won't just say that it wasn't always right. But I do feel like it is one of those words, if you've grown up through the 60s and 70s as a very independent woman, it is one of those words that kind of make you go like,
ooh. I don't think so.
Yeah, and it's funny how even now it kind of gives me that. But, you know, I'm married. You're a good man. You're a godly man. And I feel like, just like I said, that's the key. You submit to someone that you know that is a godly person, and you have to maintain that you have a brain.
There is a critical, critical aspect that isn't really taught in the area of submission that is extremely important. We had it going into our marriage, and it has grown. And it's trust. You don't submit to someone you don't trust. I wouldn't. You know, not that you trust they're never going to make a mistake. Not that you expect that they're not going to goof up, because I sure do. But you trust their motives are for you. That they want the best for not just themselves, but for the unit, the husband and wife, kids, whatever the case might be, you know. And let me give you the other side of that.
Okay.
So here's the other side. As the guy, it is incredibly much, much simpler for me to be the head of the household because I trust you to hear me. I trust you to believe that even when you disagree with me, that my heart is in the right place.
And I feel like that's a very critical element in all of this, and it is that I do trust that, you know, overall that your heart is for our good,
right,
as a unit. And so that I submit to that because I believe, first of all, you are a man of God and you're not going to lord, you know, just kind of take that over me. But what you do, you feel like is best for the unit. I do agree that, you know, I have this time I picked a good one. So, so it is easier for me to submit to under authority that it has been. And plus, I'm older. I can't get that. Oh, get away from that, because you have wisdom with that and know that You know, you have to, the key element for the woman is to make sure that you have a godly man that really understands what that means, because he also is submit, we all are, but he is also submitted to God, and that, you know, he knows that you are God's princess, and that's
oh, yeah, you are, as a husband, which also makes me the head of the house. I believe that. I am responsible to guard you, to cherish you, to treasure you, to help you prosper in any way I can, to support you, to be your biggest fan, all those things, because the Word says, even as we, the husbands, submit to Christ. Well, that's how Christ deals with me. I am submitted to Jesus Christ, and I know he loves me, and I know he wants the best for me. And no, we don't always agree, and I want to go, wait a minute, I don't really like the way this is going, but I trust him. And so now when I go and I have that discussion with the Lord, it's much easier, you know, and you trust me and I trust you. So this process of submission really starts to look different than what we've imagined it to be or what we thought it was. So I think maybe we should go with what it isn't before we go to what it is. So, and from the guy's standpoint, maybe this is easier for me to say, but joining in, it's not tyranny. It's not, you're going to do what I tell you to do, whether you like it or not. I don't agree with that. We're treading on dangerous ground. It's not tyranny. It's not a dictatorship. It's not a place of superior spirituality. Because I can tell the people who are listening to me, Linda, I don't know if I want to say she's my spiritual superior, but I don't think of myself more spiritual than she is. And so what I'm trying to say is you can be, gentlemen, you can be the head of the household, you can be the husband, you can be the leader without being the more spiritual person. It's your responsibility to set the tone. It's your responsibility to direct the path. It's your responsibility to say, in my house, we're going to worship the Lord. In my house, we're going to honor God. You know, and you, without getting super, super ritualistic and legalistic, but that doesn't make me, I don't know the Bible better than Linda does. I don't, you know, there's lots of things I don't know as well as she does. You know, that's not the point. The point is I am responsible for this unit. And so it's not, so in our, and we're going to use ourselves as an illustration because hopefully it'll make things clearer. Perfect illustration, the house we're in today. Linda and I, we prayed about it. We were in an apartment. There was a reason we were in that apartment, and we were happy to be there. I felt like we needed to make an investment in a house instead of just paying rent. And Linda and I prayed about it, and we agreed. Then we agreed, you know, okay, let's start here. To make a long story short, folks, we looked at a lot of houses. We had contracts fall through.
Yeah.
Linda got a little more discouraged than I did.
Yeah, a lot more.
And I told her, I said, well, we've got two choices. We can buy a brand new house, or we can move further out from the nucleus of the city and find an existing house. I didn't like the brand new house concept because I don't like the way they're built. I don't feel like there's a good value. I like moving out, but that meant that we would have to wait. You know, we could put a contract on a new house immediately, but we'd have to go search some more. Well, Linda didn't really want to search anymore. And I said, sweetie, I really feel like we need to look some more. That there's a house out there for us that's going to meet our needs. It's going to be a good investment of God's money, because we don't believe in just 10%. We believe in 100%. It's all of us. And let's hold out. Well, we have been truly and remarkably blessed. Linda never complained. Now, I knew she was disappointed at certain times. I knew she was, you know, got her hopes up and then was disappointed because this didn't go through her back. But she stuck with me as I said, I think we need to go on. And I think we need, to me, that's a good illustration of one person kind of taking the lead and the other person saying, you know, I'm with you. But it could have been the other way around.
Yeah.
And it would still be submission. It could have been, I could have gone to Linda and said, what do you think? And she could have said, I really think we need to buy this new house. And as a spiritual guy, and Linda has heard me say this, and I'll say this again to all our listeners, especially the guys, a man who is married to a spiritual God-filled person and doesn't listen to her advice and input is really foolish. So I could have said, well, okay, you know what? I'm going to trust the Lord speaking to me through you on this. But here's the key part of that. And this really gets couples in troubles. What if I had done that? And we had gone to a house and we bought it and found out it was a bad deal, that the electricity was bad, that the AC didn't work, or whatever. Now, does the husband look at the wife and go, this is your fault? No. Because he's responsible. Ultimately, I'm responsible. Does that make sense? You see where I'm going with
it? I do feel like that marriages are more equal now, and I don't really feel like, I think that some things you come to on a joint decision, and it's not any one person. Things have gone bad in this house. We just want to be totally honest.
True.
It has been a good investment. We love this house. It's great, but things have gone bad, and it's not one person's fault or the other. It's just, it is what it is. You know, things happen. But I think that I'm glad that we did wait, because I do love this house and it is a great house. And for the woman's point of view with submission, it is not that you become a Stedford wife and you don't have a brain anymore. It's not that you don't have input. I still would hope, we can't tell people how to be married, but I still would hope that if you've chosen a godly man, that you still have input into all the decision making. And I think one of the good things that we do is, like, when we're talking, and if I feel like I've gotten a word from the Lord about a certain thing, I'll say, and we both do this, and I really appreciate that we do this, we'll say, I feel like this came from God, or I got this word from the Lord. And sometimes we say, now, this is not from God, this is Linda.
Right.
Or he'll say, yeah. This is Dave.
You know, I haven't got some great.
Yeah, and I appreciate that we do that, too. Because it's just being fair. So it's not that you don't have a brain. It's not that you don't have input anymore. And some wives feel like, or some women, I would feel like you've lost yourself. Because I've had that feeling in the past, too, that I didn't even know who I was anymore. When you are grounded in the Lord, you know who you are. So you can be, like, I feel like I'm a, you know, I have many sides, but I feel like I can be very strong, very independent, very strong-willed. At the same token, as a woman, I enjoy being soft, and there are times when I love when my husband takes the lead. Actually, it's kind of, I like it. I like it a lot. So there are those different sides of anything.
Let's explore that, because I think that's important. You like it. You like it a lot. Why? Do you know why?
Well,
when I take the lead and say, let's go this way, or I think we should do this, why does that, why do you like that?
Well, I mean, you know, I'm going to be
perfectly
honest.
Open.
Perfectly open and honest. I love it when it works in my favor. I'm not going to say that.
Well, yeah.
I am a
Yeah, we will take that vacation.
Yeah, I love it when it works. But when it doesn't work, it's my favorite. I love to see. Just, this is me as, you know, I can't speak for, I love a man that can make a decision and can stand in that.
So there is an attractiveness.
There is an attractiveness
to
me.
Who's willing to take that responsibility.
Yes.
But what else? Does it not take some pressure off of you?
I do feel like, in a sense, it does take some pressure off of me. Yes, I don't have to have all the answers. You know, when you've been the head of household for so long, you know, and for some women, this may not be. We're speaking about us and our personal relationship. I have been the head of household for a long, long time and struggling and out here doing it on my own. And that is beautiful in that whole sense of the 60s and 70s that, hey, you can, you know, cook the bacon and fry it up in the pan, and that is all gravy and beautiful. But at the end of the day, you're tired sometimes. So sometimes now it has been good to release some of that. But ultimately, I do it, I submit. It's a work in progress for me. It's not like this is something that just comes easy for me. I'm going to be honest about that. It's always a work in progress. And sometimes, some days it does. It comes easy. And some days it is like, oh, really? You know?
Yeah.
You know?
Let's be honest.
That is honest. And so it is out of respect that I feel like, why submit to your husband as unto the Lord? And that's the key statement, as unto the
what
Lord.
What would you say to a wife who's married to a husband who isn't spiritual, who maybe isn't leading the way she thinks he should?
And I've been there.
Yes, I know you have.
I feel like, and sometimes that was a struggle also, but I had to take the biblical road of that, and the biblical road with that was submit to your husband. Because if you are dutiful and respectful and honorable, you may win your husband over to God. And so I'm not saying be a doormat. I'm not a doormat or any of those things.
Yeah,
but I think
let's rule out abuse.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not beyond abuse or doormat, verbal, physical, or whatever. No, I feel like that's a boundary. There are some things that are boundary that you don't go past. And I feel like anybody that would take that power or authority to the point of abuse or
should be overthrown.
Should be overthrown, right? He doesn't deserve a kingdom anymore.
But I like, you know, what you said. Let's see if I got it right, because that is, even then, you had a responsibility to the Lord to be obedient and submit, even when your husband wasn't the ideal leader. Not that I'm an ideal leader now, but you know what I'm saying. Wasn't really taking the reins the way you wished that he would. And I think that happens. I saw this not so much in my house because I didn't understand it then, but in church growing up. What happens in church? The women do most of the work. And so often it's the women who are spiritually leading their families because the guy doesn't know how. Let me give you an example. The guy's, it's Sunday morning, and he's sitting on the couch while the mom gets the kids dressed and ready to go. And sometimes he doesn't go, and they go. To me, that's a big mistake on the guy's part. So it's tough when you don't have that guy. But that woman who's in that position, I would say, keep doing the right thing. Keep going. And pray for him, you know, and ask God to open his eyes. So let him see how important it is that he set an example for his kids and that he supports his wife. Now, guys aren't like women, okay? For example, we're not going to, you know, we're not as typically spiritually expressive. That doesn't mean we're not there. Is that what you're saying?
I think that if there are, and I'm sure that there are women that are in that place, and it, or you're in the place where it is hard for you to submit to somebody that is just not, I mean, they're just on a whole nother path, not even in their mindset is different. Sometimes you find yourself in marriages where the two people are in two different places. I really feel like the most important tool that you have in a situation like that is prayer, and finding godly women that you can talk to, that can help you, that can support you through the process. Because I think even when I was in that place, I thank God, I'd always brought women, be their grandmothers, mothers, friends, who spoke a word that gave me the strength to keep trying. And there were times when things changed, because when he saw my heart, or when he saw that I was trying to do the right thing, that I was still trying to be respectful to him and to honor him, you know, there were instances where I don't want to present him as a total bad guy, because he wasn't. There were instances where he would do something that was right because my heart was right and he saw that.
Well, that's the whole point.
You
won him, at least in that instant, in that moment, by your attitude and your willingness to be submitted. You know, I'll give you the flip side. This is what, you know, what happens when you're the guy and you're trying to lead and nobody wants to follow?
I never thought about that.
Well, I've been there, and I know what that's like, too. And I will say to the guys out there, just keep doing it, guys. Just keep doing it. You know, you can't drag somebody with you. They have to walk with you. And if they're not ready to walk with you, I don't think there's anything you can do to change that except prayer,
mm-hmm.
and keep being the person
right.
you need to be. You know, keep doing what you know is right. If your thing is that you're going to be in church every Sunday, go with her. And nobody else goes or not. And I can say this from experience, because I didn't, like I wished I had. Now, it wasn't that I abandoned my Christianity and just gave up, but I did stop going to church because nobody else would go. Well, that's my problem. And I guess the flip side of that is just as Linda was saying, that you might win the husband by your godly attitude, that works the other way too, in that if you're the husband trying to lead, be soft, be prayerful. Let the Holy Spirit deliver the message as often as possible, you know, and really just keep walking. Just keep swimming.
Just keep swimming. And I think that's important too, because sometimes you get discouraged. I know I got discouraged. Sometimes you may feel defeated in that. That's why it's always important to have the support of godly women or men besides your husband and wife. I feel like that is really important to me. Even a program like this, you know, that if you just to listen to somebody that may have gone through that, and there will be appreciative and grateful for the battles you win. Eventually, you'll win the war.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you may have to take certain things will happen. They may be small. Acknowledge that and thank God for those small victories that, yeah, because I remember when I was, you know, I had left Islam for a part of my second marriage, and I was a Christian, and I declared that, and we did try to work it out, but it only lasted for about a year, but we did. And it was one Sunday that...
So let me stop here, because I want to make sure our listeners understand. You were a declared Christian married to an Islamic imam,
right,
who ran the synagogue, the mosque.
Right.
So he was in a tough spot, and
yes,
you were in a tough spot.
We both were in a very
tough
spot.
So go ahead. I just want to make that clear.
Yes, we were both in a very, very tough spot. But, you know, because I would go to church and then go to the mosque and still be there to support him as we were trying to transition through this period, it was one Sunday where, you know, he kind of got angry and didn't, he took the car, you know, so I couldn't really go to church. And I think he had some early meetings, and I felt like he just felt like, well, find your own way. And at that point, we only had one car at the time. But I called him, and I was like, I really want to go to church, and I'm coming to the mosque. You know, the mosque was later in the afternoon, and I really want to be there to support, but I really want to go to church. So he did make a way, I would say, for me to go to church. And in his part, a very big deal.
I said that's pretty remarkable.
It wasn't really, and I'll give him that. And then he, from that point on, would make sure that he prepared, got a ride for me, or that he left the car and got a ride for himself.
Because his, you know, as the imam, I'm sure he wanted to hide you away.
Yes.
You know, and pretend, you know, oh, she's sick.
I'm just saying that's
pretty generous.
Yeah, and so I have to say that there were times when, you know, but it was that I kept going to church, but I also would go to the mosque to meet those obligations, and that I would be prayerful, and he would see me pray, not that I was trying to pray in front of him, but he would see that. And I just feel like the moral of that story was that I had to follow the tenets of my, you know, my spiritual practice was to submit myself first unto God and to be a godly wife, even in a situation that there was a difference there. So the fruits of that, it wasn't always the battle, the whole war was that was, but the, there were battles that, you know, or there were victories that you will win, and be thankful to God, because then after that I always had a way to church. I didn't have to worry about how I was going to get to church. So I thank God for that. So
when you say, and I'm just, well, because knowing you, you might not.
Yeah.
I think I know her, and everyone's not too old. Surprise me. But when you say that really the way our relationship works between the husband and wife, head of household, et cetera, is really all based on prayer.
And you know what? It's funny how the shows interlink. But yes, because I feel like as Christians, as people of God, there is no way I could do anything that I've done without that prayer.
Well, my point was, I believe this, even today, if you thought I was about to make a big decision, you'd pray for me.
Yeah.
You'd be in serious prayer.
Yeah.
Going, Lord, leave
I have
me. Lord, give him the answer. Yeah. We've
yeah.
been there. Lord, give him the answer.
Yeah.
Lord, you know, show Dave which way to go. Show
yeah.
us.
Which way to go.
You know,
yeah.
because, and I do the same thing. I'm going, you've heard me say, you know, Linda, if you have a word from the Lord, I sure would like to hear it.
Yeah.
You know,
and I've done the same thing.
Not sure my responsibility of having of making the final decision, so to speak. But man, you know, I'd love for you to come in and say, the Lord said this, and really believe it, and I could go, great, I'm good.
Yeah.
There's my answer, you know.
Yeah.
But ultimately, it works so well for us because we pray for each other. I know you ask God to lead me.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I ask God to lead you, to help me, to share with me, you know, all those things.
And really, you know, that is just so awesomely refreshing to have you, that you know the Lord and the power of prayer and how prayer transforms. And it makes it easier to do submission, to
Absolutely.
Be submitted to you, knowing that you go to God, you know.
Well, let me give you the guy's perspective. It's the same thing for me. It is easier for me to submit to the Lord now than it was 30, 40 years ago. Because he's proven.
Mm-hmm.
I know he's not mean or hard. I know he wants the best for me. And even when he says no, or he says no, no, that's not going to work, he's got my good. So when the Bible says, wives, submit yourselves just as the husband submits himself to Jesus, to God, it is truly the same thing.
It is, and then there is that scripture, I think it was Matthew, that we kind of went over a couple of scriptures, and it says submit to one to the other.
Mm.
So, you know, that's it. When you look at it, that even from that perspective, you are submitting to each other. You're putting down your will for the higher good, for the will of what's going to be the best for you both, for you as a family. So really it's a submission to each other. And I guess the best thing is to watch the power plays for wives or husbands, because sometimes women can get into a power play with the husband because you
We haven't really had that.
No, I don't know.
I think we both have some baggage.
Yes.
And here's what's funny, folks, and this is where I get to drag on Linda a little bit, is I don't want to criticize, I don't want to besmirk anybody, but let me just say I've been manipulated in my life, and we'll just leave it at that. And so when we first got married, there were things that would come up, and I was going, wait a minute. And you know what Linda's answer was? That is, I'm not that deep. And I laughed about it at the time, but now I understand. What she's saying is I'm not going to waste my time and energy trying to manipulate you. It's too much work. It's too much game plan. It's such, so when Linda says something, take it to the bank. You know, she's not hiding anything. She's not, you know, fixing to surprise you with something. Man, that makes my job, my responsibility, so much easier. Because, you know, it's right there.
Well, it makes the relationship, yeah, it makes the relationship easier. Because when you are manipulating to get him to go your way, and then there's this power play, and he's manipulating you to get you to go his way, I would lose a step somewhere in that process, and it just is not worth all of that. Versus, to me, it's just like, say what you mean and mean what you say. Hey, I really agree with that, but hey, if that's what you know.
And I will say to our listeners, because I've had to learn, you don't play with them. In other words, if you don't mean it, don't say it. And if you do mean it, make it clear, because she is going to believe what you say. And let me give you, here's an example. Let's just, again, try and protect people.
Yeah.
I have had wonderful examples of superior martyrdom in my life. I've learned that. And I guess I have taught myself to use it. You know, go, oh, okay, well, fine. I'll just do this, you know. I'll just work all day and all night, you know. You'll feel guilty and bad because I have. Linda looks at me and goes, go right ahead. If you want to be a martyr, go right ahead. I'm not joining you. That was the best thing. That's a really good thing for me. So I quit doing the martyrdom. And, you know, martyrdom sucks.
Well, we both have called each other. I think that's a good thing about you call each other on your
Well,
your
lovingly,
stuff.
Though.
And lovingly, you don't argue, you know.
We're just saying, Dave, I'm going to call this what it is, and then you're going to have to deal with it. That was you did me a favor.
Well, and I feel like there has been times when you have called me on my stuff.
Yeah, there's been a couple times.
Yeah, and thank God.
I won't share the details on any of these, but I tell you, it's been fun. Linda is the easygoing, loving, generous, soft, tender person. when you're having a discussion with Linda about a topic that's a little controversial and she gets real quiet, it's time to shut up. Because what she will do, and we both do it actually, and we've learned to do it, and it works, is when we get to that point, I get up and walk away. I go outside. I sit on the deck. And within about 10 minutes, the Lord's going, Dave, come on. And, you know, and I'll go, yeah, I know. You're right, Lord. I'm just being on horses, whatever. And by the time I come back in, Liz has kind of done the same thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, there is a time. But again, do you realize what I just said? We've both done the same thing. What have we done? We've submitted to the Lord.
Yeah.
And said, Lord, my reaction is wrong. Lord, I'm being defensive, bossy, or whatever the word is.
Yes,
you know.
And thank God that he worked on us in the middle of those.
Right. Oh.
Let's call them slight differences, and that he worked on our heart. And I think that's an important thing for women, too. Not with men, too.
Oh, no.
For you to pray for your spouse, that he work on both of your hearts. Because a lot of times in our whatever, we can say, Lord, work on his heart. He is really busting him. He's a jerk. But you're being a jerk, too. You know,
yeah.
So make sure that when you pray that, Lord, work on our hearts.
Right.
So that we can come together as one.
We're back to the, you know, and I guess this is going to be the theme every week, probably.
It is.
Prayer and trust.
Mm-hmm.
And asking God, help.
Yeah.
I love that prayer.
Yeah, that is important to
you. And I have sat out on the back porch of the balcony of the apartment. And sat there and I'm just, you know, going over and the Lord would come in and just kind of calmly put his hand on my shoulder and say, Dave, come on now. You've been a baby. You know, usually because you didn't get your way, you know, you're whatever it was, you know, she doesn't feel exactly like you feel, you know, why not, you know. Quit taking away the punisher. You know, because I also have that in my background. You know, well, also you, you know. No, God is not a godly husband. No, that, you know, when you're thinking, okay, you did that, I'm going to do this. Let me tell you right now, you are not walking in the Spirit.
Yeah, it's a power play. And he does thank God that he works on both our hearts while he's working, because I'm going pretty much through this. Okay, so
yeah,
he's
on the couch having
the
same
conversations with God. We keep him busy sometimes. No, actually, now I feel like we've kind of mellowed. We've been here for a few. Yeah, but yeah, he's working on me at the same time, working on my heart.
Yeah, we hardly have you in this because God has changed you to do whatever I say. Right? We're kidding. I'm just kidding. You can tell by the laughs and say, yeah, right.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah. God
I'm
has
glad
changed
you.
Me
I'm glad you.
To make a sip of tea when you are talking a lot of smack.
Yeah. No, the truth is, she's worked on both of us, and I am so thankful that I'm not the martyr I used to be. I can still go there. And I have to really pay attention to that. Why am I doing this? Is this just to make Linda feel bad? You know, well, first of all, it doesn't work. She ignores it, number one. Number two, I just end up feeling like, yeah, you know? So why are we spending time on it? It's just not worth it.
Well, what brings us up to a part of that submission is, it's not part of submission, but I do feel like another important thing to bring up is having healthy boundaries.
Good point.
Because there are people, and you can be married to somebody that, you know, they're not into the word. They don't understand the whole submit me to another as unto Christ. They don't get that. It is a power play, and you're in that. What are your healthy boundaries when you are in maybe the negative situation for that, and this person is almost to the point of maybe not totally abusive, but almost there? What would be your healthy boundaries? And for a woman, I feel like God does not want us beat up, black-eyed,
well,
or any of those.
To me, and I'm going to say this, physical abuse is never That is a boundary that should never be broken. That
right.
should be never taken over. But what confuses so many people is, I'm not sure which is worse, physical or constant, long-term, everyday, often verbal abuse. And I'm going to say something here that, Linda, I'm working on. I love my wife. She is more fun than a barrel of monkeys, and that's the only way I know how to put it. And so sometimes I will tease her, and what I've discovered is I can go too far. I can do it a little too much and a little too often, and she starts to feel like I'm believing what I'm saying, and I'm not. That's abuse. That's a very mild form of abuse, but the Lord has revealed that to me and said, "Dad, treat your wife with respect. Yes, you can tease. Yes, you can have fun, but don't ever let her think you don't respect her and her abilities and her mind and her spirituality. And if you husbands are not telling your wives that you respect them and that you value that, shame on you. That's all I know to say. I'm sorry."
And I think it's important to, you know, lift up your partner, because Dave is saying all these things, but he is so supportive to me, my encourager, my cheerleader, all of these. He makes me feel great. He, at almost 60, he makes me feel like I'm sexy sometimes.
She is.
So, you know, those things are important, but, you know, even with verbal abuse, as we're talking about boundaries, because I don't want to end the program without saying that, don't allow yourself to be name-called, and I don't get this, called out of your name, totally disrespected, put down. That is not okay. I would really encourage you to seek help through abuse hotlines, wherever your local city is. To seek counseling if your husband is willing to go there, to encourage him to get counseling. Because right at that submission end, if the husband is not a godly man and does not understand that, can almost be this other turnover over the line of almost being abusive if it's taken too far.
Right, yeah. And you owe it to yourself. You owe it to him.
Right.
Because he needs to see. He needs to understand. And some men will, some men won't, but at least give him the opportunity by saying to him, "Hey, it's hard, and I'm not okay with it." Also, you wives, and I'm going to say wives first, but this could go either way. Women can
be verbally abusive, too. And I feel like that part of submission is to respect and honor. And to me, you do not respect and honor your husband or your wife when you call them out of their name, you know. You
well, just say what you mean. When you call them ugly,
or fat, or
whatever
the word may be,
it's not okay.
That is totally
not
okay.
Where I was actually going was, you couples that have children, oh my gosh, please don't teach your children that.
Yeah.
I will say this. My mom and dad were great parents. Was it a bed of roses every day? No. But I never heard them abuse each other.
I never heard
them call each other names. I don't think they would ever allow us. Now, maybe they did behind closed doors.
And that's okay.
But, you know, now, we knew they were mad at each other. Trust me. You know, and it wasn't comfortable. But you owe it to your children to not bring them up in that kind of atmosphere, because they'll learn. It's that simple. Now start practicing what you did. Ooh, we got a little tough there, didn't we?
Yeah. Hey.
Okay. Hey.
Israel.
Well, we got 2 minutes. How you want to wrap this up? Are you ready to wrap it up?
I have no more other than at the beginning of the program, I read what Mrs. Men and everything, and it just kind of like.
It just went away, didn't it?
Yeah.
Well,
the Holy Spirit took over like
we say this, and I like it. I believe you will not get a polished, scripted program.
No.
At least not as far as I know. Now, maybe if we were doing an interview with somebody or when we're had other people coming in. And if you're listening to Linda and I, you're not going to get polished and scripted. I call it flying without a net. You guys understand what that means. Old trapeze guys, you know, when they really wanted to figure out how good they were, they knew them. They didn't have a net. They flew without a net. I like flying without a net. And by that, I mean I like the fact that we have a loose topic. We talked about it. We, you know, we've got some ideas. But we're going to trust God to bring out whatever he wants to bring out. And I like it. It makes it easier. I don't have to work as hard, you know. And hopefully we come across as real people.
Because
not
we are.
Somebody who's just giving you rules and regulations that they themselves don't believe or walk in or exercise or very good at.
And that's what we're trying to do, to be like the people in the pew who live out the word of God. And how do you do that practically? Because that's what we're trying to do, to live out his word as practical. How do you do that day to day, every day, and work and walk through that?
And we keep coming back to maybe this is just going to be the norm. Prayer.
Yeah.
I'm
yeah.
so much more dependent on prayer than I'm more dependent on prayer today than I've ever been. And I'm praying for you, I'm praying for me, I'm praying for people, friends, and persons going through hard times, and, you know, prayer. And it all comes down to because I know God is able.
Oh, yes, yes.
Okay.
Well, let's end in prayer. Let's okay. pray for people.
Would you like to, you know, I usually do the prayer. You want to do
okay.
the prayer?
Okay, I will. Well, Father God, we just once again thank you for allowing us to share. Continue to let us be open. Use us as you see fit, as salt and light. Lord, I just pray for marriages. We lift up marriages today that you teach us. You mold our hearts and what submission is and what it is not. You give us the answers, and you help us to submit ye to one another as unto you, Father God, to make that easier for those like me having a difficult time with that, to make that easier, to do it out of respect and honor for the spouse as well as respect and honor to you, God. We ask that you mend and mold marriages for those who are having a tough time in their marriage today, Lord. We ask that you just take over the reins. And mend broken hearts, lift and uplift, and give somebody that is struggling and feeling despairingly, just dragging through, or give them a second wind to keep going, to try if there is any way possible that the marriage can work, Lord. Present people, resources, and the strength to keep going. Where we lift up families who are dependent on the marriage unit between the husband and wife, that we would continue to have a godly marriage for the world and for our children, so that it is modeled the behavior of a Christian or spiritual man and woman in a marriage. Lord, we lift you up. We simply adore you, and we are grateful. Thank you.
Okay. I think we'll close with that.
All right.
Bye, folks.
Bye.